You call the president an Indonesian Muslim turned welfare thug and a racist in chief. I mean,
yeah.
Is that the kind of...
That's the way he's behaving.
But in Obama's America, the white kids now get beat up with the black kids cheering, yay, right on, right on, right on, right on.
If you are a religious person, you don't want someone telling your child that it's okay to be gay. It's as simple
right.
as that.
I'm gay and I don't molest any children. What do you think?
Well, I say you're lying.
Do you pray that I'll die tonight?
If you're a homosexual, I hope you get brain cancer.
You know, it took me about a year to start hating the 9/11 victims' families. It took me about a year.
I like turtles.
Hi again, and welcome to Amron's Podcast, episode 199. Today's live podcast is being brought to you over Pride48.com and recorded for later broadcast. In various live shows, we've talked about the state of the GLBT struggle for equality. We've talked about how heterosexuals need to know us and our stories. We've talked about heterosexuals who know that sexuality is an inborn characteristic overwhelmingly support us. In recent months, we've seen right-wing Christianists raise the heat of the rhetoric. Some have called for repealing rights already on the books. Others have called for imprisonment and torture of gay people, and still others have either supported or called for the execution of gay people. Is this simply part of the generally more aggressive and even violent tone of America's right, as exemplified by the teabaggers? Or is it a sort of last gasp of the Christianist right? Nearing defeat, they snarl and spit and lash out like a condemned animal. Could we be at a turning point where the right wing finally starts to be defeated? Or is this merely the start of something far, far worse? Joining me tonight to discuss that, hopefully, are Daniel Brewer. Hello, Daniel.
Hello. Hello, Arthur.
And Lurie Dean. Hello, Lurie.
How you doing, Arthur?
And also, Larkin is with us as well.
Hello. Hello.
How come Larkin doesn't get a last name?
Well, I don't know if I'm allowed to say it.
It's not real. You
infamous podcast listener. I thought infamous was his last name.
Yeah, infamous, yeah. No, isn't that what Archer always said? Isn't it notorious?
Yeah, no, it's, you know, Larkin wanted to be notorious, but Archer just always kept screwing it up and saying infamous.
Infamous. And I just went along.
Larkin just never corrected him.
Yes.
I tried a couple times, and you only can correct so many times, and then...
Isn't that the truth? Before we get into the topic, though, Larry, it's been ages since I've talked to you. How have you been?
I'm doing fine, thanks.
That's good. You enjoying South Kakalaki?
Up until it got cold. Until it got fucking cold.
Clearly, Daniel didn't make his weather order instructive enough.
I apparently brought the weather with me.
Oh, did you now?
Damn it.
Okay, Archer reports that the sound is much better. So,
carrying on. He could just be lying. He could be...
That's true. He might not actually even be listening for all we know.
Right. Is that too loud? This is basically, that was like...
I think it's a bot. What do you think?
It is. It's the Archerbot 2000.
So, we have been having this increasingly violent and, at the very least, aggressive rhetoric coming from the right. Does it mean anything? I suppose it really comes down to a question of whether you're optimistic or pessimistic about what's coming along. And
they really hate us.
Yeah. So why don't we start with the resident pessimist and ask Daniel?
Well, it's all right. I, you know, when I read this today that you were going to talk about this tonight, the first question that came to mind. Oh, Brother Sneda says I'm louder than the rest. All right. So here's the thing: is the question that immediately popped to my mind was, what do you mean by recently? Like, define recently. You mean like within the last 6 months, the last 5 years, the last
more like 6 months. Granted, that nothing that they're saying is anything particularly new. What I'm really getting at is the increasing frequency that we're hearing these sort of things. Whereas you might have had people like that. Oh, what the heck is his name? The guy who was talking to. Michelangelo, talking about, I hope you get brain cancer and die. He's been saying that sort of thing for a long time, and others have as well. But we've been seeing an increasing frequency of people, even that teen queen, beauty queen thingy in California.
Oh, yeah, well, she's just trying to get her 15 minutes of fame. You know, the I don't really see the increase, and maybe it just has to do with where you're looking, I guess. I tend to follow the right-wing crazy talking stuff quite a bit. They've been so concentrated on, you know, so-called Obamacare and, you know, Scott Brown's Senate seat that I really haven't heard an increase in the last 6 months. But I will give you that it is, over the last maybe 10 years, it definitely has been on the rise.
Well, I think that, for me, part of what has brought this up is the Uganda Kill the Gays bill. And a lot of the apologetics that have been going on the right. There's this one contributor to a major Wingnut website, the largest in the country, who does videos. And he had a video on it where he was saying it absolutely wasn't about killing the gays. It was just about stopping homosexual behaviors. And he said that if they don't like it, the Ugandan gays can always leave. And I'm thinking, yeah, right, where are they going to go? Pittsburgh? I mean, they can't get out of the country. And, of course, what he neglected to mention is that the regime plan, the guy plans on making it a crime to leave the country because of that as well. And also, he wants it to be an extraditable offense. Now, whether or not any other country would be willing to extradite somebody for that is a whole other issue. But that's not the point. The point is that he says that they can always leave, and that's clearly not the intention of this guy. So he's making apologies for it, and he says, oh, and by the way, gay people should die. And again, you have this beauty queen. You've got the guy who's running for governor in Alabama who has said that gay people should be executed by the state. You've got all kinds of things like this now that are coming with increasing frequency, it seems to me. And that's really what I'm getting at.
Okay. Oh, all right. Well, then how much of that is just the fact that 2010 is an election year? And you know what? We've seen increases in this stuff on all election years because this is their wedge issue, right? This... The gay marriage thing and the general just gay bashing thing has always been, well, not always, but has, you know, in recent decades has been their wedge issue. You know, when they scream about these things and then you ask them, it's like, well, wait a second, you controlled the Congress and the Senate and the Supreme Court and the executive branch, and yet you didn't do anything to stop it. So how much do you really care about it? At what point do you not just understand that these people are just trying to get you riled up and they have no intentions on doing anything.
Yeah, and it is true that the mainstream so-called of the Republican Party hasn't been pushing these sort of issues. They may have not done much of anything to stop, say, the Uganda bill, for instance, but they're not going around saying that homosexuality itself should be criminalized. They're not calling for the death penalty. It's these sort of fringe people. Because even the Alabama candidate is more in the Tea Party fringe of the party rather than what used to be called the mainstream.
But isn't the Republican Party good at that these days? They incorporate the fringe in. They don't really put down what the fringe say, but they don't.
To let the fringe run them out.
Right. That would be my question there. Is which Tea Party? Are you talking about the AstroTurf Tea Party or the actual Tea Party? Because they have two very different agendas. You know, I would say the actual Tea Party folks are very much social liberals. They're basically libertarians. I mean, they're Republicans that want to smoke pot and have sex. I mean, they're incredibly ridiculously fiscally, you know, free market.
And God knows Republicans don't do that.
Well, not in the open. But what is it that I'm looking for? Unregulated capitalism is what they want. You know, just pure, which is has
Isn't
failed.
That what we've got already?
No, well, we're getting close to it. But I mean, it's failed everywhere, right? I mean, you can make a libertarian free market. You know, that's a great thing. But there is no true free market. I know I'm getting us off the track just a little bit, but I just wanted to make this point again. It's like there is no free market. There's no such thing as a free market because people are human beings. It's like at some point you're going to want people to honor their contracts, and to do that you have to have some kind of authority figure to enforce contracts. Therefore, you don't have a free market, do you?
Sure you can if we went back to an agrarian society.
Well, even then you're going to barter.
Yeah, even then in an agrarian society, you had people that enforced contracts.
Yeah.
Well, you enforced them yourselves or you died, you know? It's like the rest of nature kind of works that way.
The kneecap busting of her.
Well, I would disagree a bit about the teabaggers. There are absolutely some that are that are as you described them, Daniel. But there's a whole bunch of just people who are reflexively anti-government about everything. And it is has been merged in many cases with an adamant and aggressive Christianity as well. And those are the people who I consider a threat, because whether or not they are actually fascist themselves, they'd be quite happy to embrace a fascist state. And
I would consider
shop
that
windows and stuff.
Right, I would consider that, and I wasn't discounting. I'm just saying that it's too simplistic of a thing to say that this is all astroturf and that these people are all paid to be out there. There are some people out there that have genuine gripes with government, and mainly they're Ron Paulites. They're you know, anti-Federal Reserve, anti-whatever folks. I would even say that there's probably a small number of them that are Democrats that are out there that are disenfranchised with the Democratic Party, that are, you know, want to throw the bums out. There's a lot of that stuff there, but it's what we're seeing on the media and what is being shown is largely the AstroTurf stuff. All the, you know, stages with microphones and sound systems and places for cameras to be set up is typically not created by a grassroots kind of a movement. If I'm really pissed off at the government and I want to say, hey, all you people, you know, in my local neighborhood, why don't you come out and join me at the park this Saturday and let's, you know, protest in City Hall, I'm not going to necessarily think up ahead of time, you know what, I should probably set up a place for the cameras to be, and I should probably have a sound system, and what, you know, I'm going to walk out there with a bullhorn because that's what I am. You know, any of these things that are so organized and whatnot, there's money behind that. There's an organization behind that. If you'll recall the original Tea Party rally, or the very first one that was, you know, publicized by Fox News and everything, they didn't have the permits to dump all those tea bags in the park. So they went upstairs to some marketing company and dumped them in their conference room or whatever. It was like just the most ridiculous thing, but it was like, yeah, because those are the people that spent the money to do it. I'm all over the map here, but I guess my point is is that yes, it's a twofold thing. I think number one, I think the anti-gay stuff is very much a, and polls back this up, is very much a generational thing. I believe if you just take the question of gay marriage, polling has consistently shown that people under the age of 30 are, you know, pretty much in favor of gay marriage, like 52% in favor of gay marriage, even higher for civil unions, like around 65-70% in favor of civil unions. You can pretty much reverse those numbers for people over the age of 60. You're going to have people who are 60-something percent against gay marriage, and then maybe you'll have, you know, a tiny majority or slightly more than the majority in favor of civil unions. They seem to be able to wrap their heads around the civil union thing, you know, more so than the marriage. But I think it's largely a generational thing. And when you're trying to whip up the people to get out there and vote, you know, it's the old people that vote, and they're getting hard of hearing, so you got to shout. Yes, big fat.
Yes,
yes. No.
No.
Yes.
No.
Right, now that I've completely just dominated this conversation and taken it all over, I'm going to go grab a beverage.
Yes, an adult beverage. Well, yes. No, I think the things that Daniel was saying was correct. I don't disagree with what he was saying. The anti-gay rhetoric, especially the violent stuff, is primarily coming from people who are on the older end of the spectrum rather than the younger end of the spectrum. You don't see 20-somethings going around talking about how gays should be strung up, apart from that teen beauty queen who's probably just doesn't realize the implications of what she was saying. And even she was suggesting, seemed to be implying anyway, that it was something that her God would do, not that something that any government or people should do.
That's being generous, but
yeah. Well, I don't think she's very bright, but then you don't have to be bright to be a beauty pageant person
to open your mouth.
Yeah. But so I do think that the violence stuff is coming primarily from the middle-aged and older end of the spectrum. But that doesn't necessarily mean that it's not dangerous, because as Daniel pointed out, the older people do tend to vote. And generally speaking, in higher numbers than the younger people tend to vote for a variety of reasons. So
they don't have anything else to do.
Well, actually, that could be part of it.
I think we could cure this. Let's take away their driver's license once they reach 60. Longer threat.
And now I'm being told that I'm not loud enough. Now, wait, I was over-modulating and I was too loud before.
Now you don't have enough bass.
Now I don't know.
You're just all...
I don't know. I'll shut up.
Sorts of fucked up.
I'm trying to imply your voice is too high, I think.
That's what it is. Excuse me. I'll just talk really slow. I think that the violence that you might be afraid of tends to be largely implied violence. Has there actually been...
Not that I'm aware of.
Violence?
Not that I'm aware of.
I mean, other than the normal. I mean, I'm not saying that gay men don't have a gay
badge. I would think that my fear would be that them talking about it potentially could get some people to actually get violent.
Right. They're trying to make it okay.
Yeah. You know, that it would potentially them talking about it would make it happen.
The trouble is, strangely enough, is that the violence does not work in their favor.
No, that's true. And even just talking about it also creates a backlash of sorts where people hear these people saying this outrageous stuff and think, oh, my God, look how crazy they are. I don't want to be associated with them. And it does make them maybe moderate their own speech, if not their thinking as well.
Then, of course, yeah, along those lines, I found it fascinating that RedState.com recently banned birthers from their site. They're pretty much just like, if you believe that the president of the United States was not born in America, then, you know, you're banned. You're gone. It's like, there's no place for you here. You're crazy. It's been proven 100 times, you know, that he has, and you're just insane. And there's no place for you in the party because you're just giving the Democrats fodder to make fun of us.
Yeah,
it's true.
Like we needed.
But then they went on to say, and this is what I found fascinating, and they went on to say that if there were candidates that didn't denounce the birthers, that they would not endorse those candidates. And if they had endorsed those candidates, they would retract it. Now, I'm, you know, been known to go to Vegas a few times. I would feel fairly safe making a bet that they will not hold up that. I think if they get a candidate that they really like, they're going to overlook that birther thing.
Yeah, I would think so. I would think that they would be willing to put their party ahead of that sort of ideology or whatever.
They need those loons to win, don't they, anyways? Because they will vote for them regardless.
Right. I think we had a conversation last night on Skype about when we were playing World of Whatever, trademark, that the hypocrisy level has become so high in the Republican Party that I believe that they just don't see it anymore. That they're perfectly fine with listening to somebody contradict themselves within the same conversation and supporting them on both sides of that contradiction. And then later going on, and then later going on to repeat it. It's just like they, I don't know. It's like they can't see what they're doing.
Well, is that because the media works on sound bites, 20-second sound bites, and depending upon what 20 seconds, the politician can be anything?
Well, you know, I've thought about this before. I think sound bites in the news cycle really apply more to liberals than it does to conservatives, because a dyed-in-the-wool conservative is not going to listen to any kind of mainstream media that employs those sound bites. They're going to listen to Fox News and Sean Hannity and Bill O'Reilly, and they do considerably more than 20-second sound bites. But what they do is they sit there and willfully and, you know, knowingly lie and then back each other up on that lie, to the point that you have actual human beings in the United States of America that believe that the majority of polls show that America is not in, Americans are not in favor of public option, even though the lowest that the public option has ever scored on any poll in the past year and a half has been 60%.
Yeah.
Don't confuse us with your facts, Daniel.
But they would have you believe that, you know, that the public option is a no starter because people don't want it. You know, it's like as people found out more and more about it, they didn't want it. You know, that's why they showed up and were protesting and everything. And now it's just down in the polls, and it's, you know, only 30% of people want it or whatever. And it's because these talk radio shows, this echo chamber, which is different than a soundbite. You know, the echo chamber is really, I think, where most of them get their news from. They believe it.
Yeah, they repeat the nonsense over and over and over again in all of these various media outlets, too.
Yeah, and it becomes like a giant game of telephone. Every time they repeat it, it gets slightly distorted. You know, if you watch Washington Journal on C-SPAN, where they just have those open calls with people, you know, you can pick out the Rush Limbaugh people, the ones that are calling in and trying to repeat his latest line of gobbledygook and just getting things wrong. And, you know, then people just building on it.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because just recently, I should say, the Republicans have been hitting the Democrats over what is looking increasingly likely, and that is using reconciliation to pass health care. And the Republicans have been saying that it's the nuclear option because they know that the American public will have heard them mention that before and think, oh, okay, not realizing that, of course, the nuclear option has nothing to do with reconciliation whatsoever.
Right. Yeah, Rachel went on.
Yeah,
at the beginning of her show last night went on quite, and I think Barbara Boxer was on as the guest, and rightly pointed out that reconciliation, you know, the reason that getting rid of the filibuster was called the nuclear option is because you were going to have to change the rules of the Senate.
Yeah.
So you were going to actually have to go and change rules. Well, reconciliation is already in the rules of the Senate, it's already exists. It's been used. And as Boxer pointed out, it's been used 22 times since 1980. The Republicans were responsible for 16 of those.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like for them to pretend like, and Scotty is pointing out something decent. At least they're saying nuclear correctly.
That's a good point.
They're not calling it the nuclear.
Nuclear
option.
Gnu-key.
Well, I'm going to go put on my aluminium hat. And
I say aluminium every, well, not every day, but whenever it comes up.
Make sure you have someone tweak your knobs.
Say, if you say aluminium every day, there's something wrong.
No, it doesn't come up every day, but...
Unless your dog is named Aluminium. Come here, Aluminium. Come here, boy.
Can you imagine that?
And he puts those dumb U's in all his words, too, I bet.
And he puts in an S where clearly there should be a Z. But it's neither here nor there. We have sidetracked. You shouldn't ever have me on your show again, Arthur, because I just sidetrack everything. Please, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, but the thing that we were just talking about, I think, is part of this whole thing, because you've got these people out on the outside of the party, the teabaggers and so on, of various stripes and kinds, who are pushing a kind of a political agenda. And then you've got the real Republican Party, who stands for whatever it is it stands for. Who can tell? Because they keep changing it every 2 minutes. And their hypocrisy is starting to fold in on itself so much now that I don't think they know lies from the truth anymore.
No, they don't.
But it doesn't matter.
Well, they don't think it does.
Because they get to just say whatever they want until it is true.
Well, I mean, even when confronted with the, you know, how ballsy do you have to be to talk about the nuclear option of using reconciliation to pass this healthcare bill the day before the healthcare conference, you know, the summit or whatever they wanted to call it.
Yeah.
And to not expect that on this televised conference that if one of your people slips and says nuclear option, that they're not going to get called on the carpet on it on television, which is exactly what happened today. You know, I don't even remember which Republican slipped and said something about the nuclear option, and, you know, who's he, what's it over on the Democratic side? I forget who. Was it Jay Rockefeller? Somebody was just, they were just ready to pounce. How dare you call this nuclear option? And, you know, it's, which is probably the first time that a lot of people on the right wing had even ever heard, you know, the distinction being made there. But let's be honest about it. How many people, you know, really watched C-SPAN 3 today? I didn't. I was watching the tweets from it. I read some of the synopsis of it, but I didn't sit around and watch it today.
No.
Daniel, go back in time, watch it, and then come back and talk to us.
Well, I mean, the nice thing, I mean, it's on the C-SPAN website. I could go and stream it on demand at any time. You know, I'll just wait for Rachel to give me the highlights.
Well, they're doing a special tonight.
Back when I used to do a political podcast, I would have taken the time to watch it and take some notes.
I wasn't going to spend that much time sitting in front of my computer watching
a stream. I think Boner actually passed. Boner didn't speak today. He chose to not speak.
He's probably out getting a spray tan.
He was missing from his seat. Someone was tweeting that. It's like they keep panning to John Boner's seat, and he's not there. And yes, I know it's Boner, but I say Boner.
It's funnier that way.
I know. Anyway, one of the news sources like emailed his aides and was asking him if he was out on a cigarette break, and they wouldn't answer.
Well, he
and it makes sense because he has that smoker's voice.
He does.
Yeah, so he's probably out there chain smoking. I thought that the one quote that came away from that day, again, completely off your topic, but the one quote that came away that kind of stuck with me today was Obama basically challenged one of the Republicans who was, you know, I'm just fundamentally opposed to this whole healthcare reform bill that you've planned. And Obama basically asked him, "Is like, would you be opposed to it if you only made $40,000 a year?"
Yes. Well, that's actually part of the whole thing. They come across as, well, to use one of their words, they come across as elitist in opposing healthcare reform because they have their own healthcare that's well set up and they make plenty of money that they could afford to buy it privately if they needed to. It's the ordinary poor schlubs that they're screwing over, it seems to me.
No, absolutely. I completely agree with you. You have, you know, the members of the Congress are on government-run healthcare. You know, Dick Cheney, when he had his heart surgeries and his stents put in and his bypass knee surgery or whatever the fuck he had done with his legs and everything, every single thing that he went in and had, you know, medically wrong with him during the time that he was vice president was all government-run healthcare. That was all done by the Navy. That was all done by the VA.
I think those stents were two sizes too small.
Right, but...
You're a whatever. Mean one, Mr. Grinch.
There's no trap. Whatever it is that you know that they say, I mean that was not only public government run healthcare, but not public, but government run healthcare. But it was on our dime. We paid for all of that stuff. And then to have the audacity to sit around and talk about how bad government run healthcare is, it's like, yeah, you mean the same healthcare that you use? That's bad.
Yeah.
You know the VA, which arguably is 100% government run healthcare. You don't pay, right? I mean, that is it's government-run healthcare.
Which my father uses and still thinks that.
Which
in every single opinion poll, every single satisfaction poll, the people that experience VA, you know, medical care are incredibly happy with it. They're it's but like
wasn't Walter Reed outsourced? Didn't they not hire a company? And didn't that Walter Reed have major issues?
It did, but it did not have it. That was not.
It wasn't a quality of service. It was a
right. That
building.
Right. Those were the people that were putting. Yeah, yeah. That was a housing issue more than a quality of medical service.
But it was the people that they outsourced to that didn't take care of the facilities properly.
Great. The same people who are electrocuting our soldiers overseas by putting faulty wiring in these showers.
Around the showers.
Yeah. Yes.
That we're now going to give another contract to.
Well, speaking of contracts, if you listen to the MSNBC shows, you probably heard about how Blackwater has set up a shell company with Raytheon in order to get more contracts in Afghanistan in particular. In areas where they've been banned, which just absolutely astounds me. And I can't understand how the Pentagon would even consider anything remotely connected with Blackwater. How could they not know?
So well, they're not Blackwater anymore, are they? Didn't they change their name?
Or they're She or something like
that. Yeah, She. Well, there you go. That's why.
She in the second syllable is it. But anyway.
It's kind of like Comcast changing their name to
what
Double
is that?
Integrity or whatever the fuck they changed their name to, Xfinity or something. It's It's like changing your name.
But we live in that world today that major corporations do that and they get rid of their
bets. Absolutely. Yeah. And the funny thing about it is, and I'm being told by the chat room that I keep talking over people. You know what? How many years have you been listening to me? Yeah, of course I talk. That's what I do. I don't know. How many people remember that AIG changed their name? And then how many people are going to remember that 4 years from now when whatever their new company, whatever they're now called, AIS or something, is really similar, but they're no longer AIG. So the first thing they did with the billions of dollars that we gave them was to buy all new signs and change their name and their letterhead. Letterhead. It's like they spent like almost $100 million on this whole thing and then set aside another $50 million of the money we used to bail them out with for PR on changing their name.
Well, you can kind of understand why they'd want to do that.
Right. Right. And don't get me started on the tens of millions of dollars that they then spent on lobbyists of the money that we paid them to bail them out. So they could go and lobby our Congress critters. So.
And speaking of lobbyists and Congress critters, I was pleasantly surprised when Congressman Wiener was saying that the entire Republican Party was a wholly owned subsidiary of big insurance, which Congressman Lundgren took offense. But I take offense at Congressman Lundgren personally.
To me, that was just so... For the civics dorks in the world.
Oops.
Oh, dear.
Hello.
Oh, dear.
Carry on. I'll mute myself.
Someone was hurt in Australia, in New Zealand, which is near the Faroe Islands. It sounded like someone was hurt off of that. Oh. I was just going to say that for the civics dorks out there like myself, who have a passing familiarity with the arcane fucking rules of the Congress and the Senate. That was just so awesome yesterday. For those of you who don't know, Anthony Weiner basically stood up and made the statement on the floor of the House that the Republican Party is a wholly owned subsidiary of the insurance industry. And he was immediately like chastised by the other side and was basically censured by the Speaker. And made to sit down for like 10 minutes, which is kind of like their little timeout box.
Did he have to wear a pointy hat?
No, this is where it gets better. He comes back after his little 10-minute timeout, and the Republicans demand that he retract his words.
You take that back.
Right. And he basically says, well, I would like to use alternate wording. And they're like, you can't do that until you take it back. And he's like, fine, I take it back. And so the Republicans are all happy that he withdrew his words. And then he basically said, every Republican I know is a wholly owned subsidiary of
the I would have thought, that like in the case of libel and slander and so on, that the truth is your shield. And so because what he said was true, therefore he shouldn't have had to take it back.
Well, civics 101, you cannot be held responsible for any libel or slander spoken on the floor of the Senate or on the floor of the House, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that the whole thing? Is it the floor of the House was like the ultimate in free speech? You could not be charged for anything? Yeah, wasn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, some weird old 1800 thing.
Well, don't you know... With technology today, they transport the Senate floor over to England for, and then they use their libel laws.
Well, theirs are the same. in any parliamentary system, the members can't be prosecuted for anything they say on the floor of the legislature. In parliamentary systems, it's called parliamentary privilege. I don't know what Congress calls it. It's probably that or something similar.
But it's
the same.
Right, so it would be the equivalent of diplomatic immunity, but in your own country.
Yeah. Except that it's only in the context of performing your official duties. It's like in most states in the U.S., a member of the legislature who's going to their state legislature for a session can't be given a ticket for speeding or what have you.
Right, as opposed to maybe going to Appalachia to hike a trail.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Going to visit the... Anyway.
She was a long trail.
Via South America.
But the idea behind the being able to say whatever you want on the floor of the legislature, I mean, that in a sense dates all the way back to Magna Carta, because the idea is that the legislators, the parliamentarians, whatever, should be free to have an open and robust debate without being prosecuted for it by somebody bringing a private action. And that principle still lives to this day. Although, if somebody goes too far, the fellow congresspeople or whatever can try to discipline them, which is what that was all about with Congressman Wiener.
Now, somebody in the chat room, Name Change, has just said that he needs to prepare for his trip to Beaverville. Now, the only person that I'm aware of that is tripping to Beaverville, as it were, would be the fat one.
True.
Big Fatty himself, who I hear, by the way, is going to change his name.
That was formerly Sweet Gussie.
Yes, he's going to change his name.
To what?
I believe Uncle Vera. he's going to use the hundreds of dollars that we are going to ka-chingle to him in his bailout. And he is going to change his name and skip town with our money.
He's not going to be the...
His teabag.
Right.
I am so sorry.
I do this every time. I completely derail your entire conversation. You know what? Those people are just they're barking louder than their bites. Just ignore them.
That is what I tend to think as well. It does disturb me that they're not called out by the mainstream non-liberal media more, but I suppose that's sort of par for the course because they don't call them out on misinformation that they spread on other things either. So
there you go. We've answered your question. All right. Good night, everyone. Thank you.
Well, we actually probably will have a shorter one today than normal anyway. But
size queen.
I
don't know what that means.
Yeah, exactly. I always say in the thing, join us for discussion of this and other topics or something, because I know that
it's
never going to stay on course.
Aren't you crafty trying to cover your ass there?
Well, you never know what's going to come up. I mean, one thing may lead to another, and I don't want to say, oh no, stop talking about that. We have to get back to the topic.
Here's the thing about the Tea Party. I would suspect that if you were to go to one of these Tea Party rallies, you could probably find a bunch of issues that you agree with those people on.
Oh, probably, yeah.
And so I don't understand why we're not out there trying to take it. Well, we're not out there with our own signs and basically going, yeah, fuck yeah, we agree with this, that this the corporations are like too cozy with the government and yada, yada, yada. And you know, it's like when we leave them out there to just deal with the other folks with an agenda, it's like we're basically conceding the fight there.
Yeah, and the thing is that I think that they have an image of being, stupid, partly because of the misspelled signs that they have, and they also have an image of being racist, again, for the signs. But it's easy for anyone to take signs and misinterpret what they mean. First of all, well, that almost sounded philosophical.
also almost sounded apologetic, because Obama is a nigger is very difficult to misinterpret.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm not really talking about suggesting that those people aren't really racist or that they aren't necessarily stupid. What I mean to say is that they're not necessarily representative of teabaggers completely, because I don't think that the teabaggers are as organized as the right wants us to believe they are.
Oh, absolutely. And Gravitas, again, me talking over you, but the Gravitas just pointed out in the chat room that the teabaggers paid for Sarah Palin to speak at their conference. Actually, I was very disappointed in how that got covered. And that was a paid, it cost $500 a person to show up at that teabag convention, which was being run by a for-profit company that was unapologetically making a huge profit on it, that paid Sarah Palin $100,000. And most of the teabaggers, went on, out of their way all over the blogs and everything to say, these people are trying to hijack a movement. These are not, I don't know who these people are. They have no real standing. There's not an organization here where we have some kind of hierarchy like that. This is someone that hung their shingle up and said, hey, we're the organizers. And
I like Archer's comment that teabaggers are nuts. Mostly because of the double entendre there.
That's why I just to this day so love calling them teabaggers.
You teabaggers are nuts.
Right. And then he followed up by that by saying, yikes, he said the N-word, even though he was the one to say nuts first. Yes, it should, Archer.
It should be pointed out for anybody who wasn't paying attention that Daniel was quoting a sign.
Yeah, I was. I was quoting an actual sign that was being held up at one of these TPAC rallies.
Just in case somebody wasn't paying attention until they heard the N-word.
Right, exactly.
Huh? It does perk up one ears.
It does. Well, one doesn't expect to hear it, does one?
Well, right. I just thought, you know, I'm totally offended right now. Click.
As luck would have it, I have to go and refresh my beverage. So you can be offended without me.
That's easy to do.
I was going to say that won't be as easy.
Ooh, there's a point. Anyway, back to the topic of all this. I think Daniel's right. I don't really think that these people are something to worry about. They just are something, people that need to be, we need to keep an eye on them. But in some ways, I think that they're just another version of the Westboro Baptist Church people. And in some ways, they actually help us.
Oh, I would agree.
By being so crazy.
That's only slightly less crazy than the Westboro folks.
Well, and I think we could take a lesson learned there when they were in San Francisco and all the people showed up with signs with them. And then they chose not to show up to their second thing they were protesting that evening in San Francisco because of that.
Yeah.
So if we just, I think we need to infiltrate all these groups and just, you know, say really dumbass crap.
I want them to go away because the concept of anti-teabagging in San Francisco just runs against my board judgment.
I personally just can't get enough of making jokes about the teabag.
Well, that's why I love calling them nuts.
It did occur to me that the whole talk of violence and
violence.
Yeah, violins and the rest of it was kind of an attempt to bring back the Karl Rovian tactics, which is something Daniel touched on earlier, about how they had successfully used gay people as a wedge issue in 2002 and 2004, and they tried it in 2006 with far less success. And so some of them may be just trying to use it to try to rally their base and, you know, get them all energized, and more importantly, get money for their churches and things. But that doesn't necessarily mean that there's any actual threat on the right, at least not more than there was before, that these people are just, I don't know, trying to use it.
I think using the gays as a wedge issue is less effective every time that they do it.
Yeah.
Because we never turn out to be the big scare that they make us out to be.
Yeah. And as somebody said in the chat room earlier, and I can't be bothered to scroll back to look to see who it was. The teabaggers are going to be dead in 20 years. And the young people, I think it was Tim Carmel who said it, the young people just don't believe the same things that a lot of those teabaggers do. And when I say teabaggers, I shouldn't lump them all together because there are different kinds, but I'm talking about the anti-government, big and little, the anti-government and the, you know, all the other, the crazier ones.
As opposed to the flesh teabaggers.
But actually, Gravitas is raising an interesting question in the chat room. It says, do you think the Dems are using Don't Ask, Don't Tell as a current issue? I presume that you mean current wedge issue of a sort.
No.
I don't either. But
I think, and that gets to a larger point, which I should probably not expound on because it's just
back.
Set up. Yeah, I'm sorry. I've been back. I've been sitting here quietly.
No.
I know it's hard to believe.
I should have been sitting here quietly. No, I think the whole thing with the Don't Ask, Don't Tell is, how many people in the chat room honestly thought that Obama was a, you know, progressive liberal Democrat?
You know, I sure didn't.
Right. I mean, I think anyone who followed him, he was very much a centrist Democrat. And I think our expectation of it, you know, the whole expectation of, well, it's just going to take an executive order, right? He's the commander in chief. He could just basically issue
one swipe of the pen.
He could be done with Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Yet that's a very simplistic view of that. I mean, it's not an issue that can easily, you can't change a culture in a mindset with a stroke of a pen. Yes, you can change laws. You can change orders, but you can't change a mindset. And until that mindset was changed, you're really just opening it up. You know, let's not forget that Don't Ask, Don't Tell was not supposed to be what it ended up being.
Yes.
Don't Ask, Don't Tell was supposed to be this happy little compromise of, okay, fine, you know what, then we'll let gays be in the service as long as they don't go around and you know, flaunt it, and we won't ask it. But they never held up their end of the bargain.
Right.
We spent millions of our own tax dollars every year investigating people and finding them, actively going out and seeking them and trying to find reasons to get them kicked out. So that's because the culture didn't change. The mindset of the culture didn't change. That's how Jim Crow laws happened, right? Yes, blacks are allowed to vote. It is illegal to prevent someone from voting because they are black. And so then what they did, all these local municipalities came up with the concept of, oh, well, we're not going to prevent somebody from voting because they're black. Just we're going to prevent someone from voting because they can't pass this aptitude test.
Literacy
test. And we're going to administer those tests at our own discretion.
Yeah.
And we just happen to only administer them black people.
Right.
Yeah.
But the point is that they will always find. So, I mean, just stroking the pen. Ooh, that sounded.
That sounded a little like teabagging.
A stroke of the pen to get rid of Don't Ask, Don't Tell really opens yourself up to a lot of horrible things. You know, going back to people getting beaten up and or worse, you know, getting, seriously wounded and or in a quote-unquote accident on the firing range, you know, whatever, if you don't change the culture. And the culture takes a lot longer to change than the rule. And I think, you know, it's been steadily moving, you know, the military is primarily made up of younger people. I mean, those who are our enlisted people. It's the upper brass that we're really having to get on board with this.
Yeah, and in the years since the policy was adopted, some of those younger people have been coming up through the ranks as well. Well, younger at that time, but and so there's started to be a culture change throughout the military, and the younger people, by and large, even though there are a lot of poor Appalachian whites involved, generally don't really care that much. Certainly not like the Republican politicians like to make it seem.
Right.
And think there's been a change in societal attitudes as well, particularly when most of America's allies don't discriminate on the basis of sexual orientation in their militaries.
Right, and they have not imploded.
No, far from it.
Right, and Archer, who is it? Gravitas just said in the chat room, for those of you listening on the later podcast, the Gravitas just said, does it any find it strange that Cheney and Lieberman approved of lifting the ban? And no, for two very different reasons. Cheney obviously has a lesbian daughter, and really, Cheney has never really had a problem with the whole gay thing. In fact, he almost seemed kind of embarrassed about the party stance on gay marriage at the time when he had his grandchild, you know, from his lesbian daughter.
And I think he would easily give on social issues in order to...
Yeah, to me, Cheney has never been a social conservative.
No.
Cheney's a fascist. Cheney wants corporations to run everything.
Right. Yeah.
And that, you know, those are his motivations, I think. In Lieberman, really, when you think about it, God, this gets way out in the weeds, but Joe Lieberman, and I'm going to cast my eyes slightly askance to my left here where Mr. Lurie Dean is sitting. Because Mr. Lurie Dean is from the fine state of which Joe Lieberman is a representative. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Dean.
Calling him a representative is a bit of a...
Correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Dean, but I believe that Joe Lieberman's big base of support comes from the fact that he is very proudly a member of the Jewish community.
Conservative Jewish.
And has actively courted those things. And
which is a large part of
which is a very large
Democratic base,
right? And is a very smart political move to do that. I think Joe Lieberman taking the front on the Don't Ask, Don't Tell is really kind of a cheap ploy of him to get yet another special group that has a very central issue to them. To well, they won't care what else I do, all they're going to care about is the fact that I championed them,
right?
And I think that I hate to sound as jaded as that, but I really think Joe Lieberman's whole thing there is really
it's very calculated.
Yeah, very calculated political.
Although he's never made social issues one of his main focuses either. It's always been on things like defense and military issues and so on, and fiscal stuff.
Right, the senator from Aetna.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he has always been in the back pocket of large corporations in Connecticut.
Yeah, and that's not likely to change anytime soon. But one of the things that a lot of people forget is that when Don't Ask, Don't Tell was first introduced or first proposed as a so-called compromise, it was originally Don't Ask, Don't Tell, Don't Pursue. And they weren't supposed to be going after people in the military, the gay people in the military, I mean.
Right, right.
And as Daniel said, they didn't hold up their end of the bargain. But it is likely to change. I just don't know that it's going to be anytime soon.
I believe it'll. I have no reason to doubt them when they say by next year. I don't. I think it absolutely will be. You know, there's already movement in that case, right? We've reassigned Daniel Choi back to his. Was it Daniel Choi or was it the other one that hadn't yet got kicked out?
Anyway, I think it was Daniel Choi that was being reinstated.
Yeah, but basically, I mean, they've been sent back. Well, he was just never actually officially discharged. He was waiting for that to happen. It could happen any day, so he was like on leave, on involuntary leave until that happened. But you know, I mean, I think we're heading towards that just going away.
Yeah. Well, it is inevitable. And
you can't stop a train.
Well, you can try, but unless you're Superman, you can't do it.
Or Dick Cheney. Right.
Stop this train doesn't exist.
Sounds a bit like the Penguin in the old Batman series.
I'm doing my impersonation of John Stewart doing his Penguin impersonation when talking about Dick Cheney. So, and speaking of John Stewart, did anybody read that Ole Miss is finally changing their school mascot?
No.
Ole Miss's school mascot, and this is of personal interest to me because my parents met at Ole Miss. That's where they first met and started dating. But the Ole Miss, which would be Mississippi State University is the Bulldogs, so this would be the University of Mississippi. Or maybe I have that reversed. But the point is that their mascot is a person called Old Reb, who is a Confederate general, and just very, you know, Southern Confederacy kind of a thing. And so they have finally decided that this is time to change their thing. And so, yes, the people in the chat room already know this because basically there was a poll that the university put on their sites for the students to vote on a replacement mascot, and they foolishly allowed write-ins, and currently Admiral Akbar from Star Wars has three times more votes than the closest competitor.
It's a trap! All of which is just more reason that you shouldn't necessarily trust the future to the young. I'm kidding.
Steven's probably playing World of Whatever. He's not even hearing you.
No.
It's a trap!
He did mention that he loved this story.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, and now they're all trying to figure out how to keep Admiral Akbar from... I say no, screw it. Just do it. Make George Lucas come and say, no, you can't use that. I dare him.
I want to see Fish Face.
That's right.
Fish Face.
Besides, how awesome would that be to have the Admiral Akbar mascot running around out on the field just constantly?
That's a trap! It's a trap!
Evacuate. It's a trap. Oh, I'll evacuate, all right.
As you can see here on this map, you'll be going down this tunnel and shooting this thing into the hole.
We all know way too much about that movie. I'm sorry, but
which is scary in itself. But at least it's not making any comment on. And I put this in quote marks: 1, 2, and 3.
Well, no, because we're not.
We don't acknowledge their existence.
We don't acknowledge their existence. Misa don'tsa thinks it may exist. in Tulsa movies too. And I become a background character.
I was just going to do that. I kept thinking that it was Roger Rabbit that was in that one.
Right. Well, he would only do that. If it would be funny.
Notatrap.org, Stephen, you are quite the research.
Oh, yeah, Stephen, for those of you listening at home, well, I guess all of you are at home, but for those of you listening on the podcast later, Stephen in the chat room has just linked the web address, notatrap.org, which I did not look at, but Larry Dean was looking
at. It
is
amusing.
On his Macintosh. Oh, there you go. It's actually a website in support of Admiral Akbar to be the mascot.
This time, it's not a trap.
And you can find him on Facebook, Akbar Ole Miss. Oh, and you can follow him on Twitter, Ole Miss _ Akbar. There you go. And while you're there, while you're following someone new on Twitter, make sure you follow Conan O'Brien, who just joined Twitter yesterday.
And had 100,000 people within 3 minutes or something.
Yeah, which is really funny because Jay Leno is also on Twitter and has, I believe, 20,000 followers. as of earlier today, I believe he was up to around almost 300,000 followers, Conan O'Brien.
I don't think I could bring myself to follow Conan O'Brien. I'm sorry, but
really, it's like why?
Well, for one thing, his program isn't shown in New Zealand, so it'd be sort of pointless.
No, but he doesn't have a show right at the moment. I mean, he's only made 2 tweets so far. Currently, he has 338,000 followers. But here are his 2 tweets. His very first tweet to the world yesterday was, "Today I interviewed a squirrel in my backyard and then threw to commercial. Somebody help me." And then his tweet from today was, "This morning I watched Remington Steele while eating Sugar Smacks out of a salad bowl. I was naked." His biography on Twitter is, "I had a show, then I had a different show, now I have a Twitter account." Anyway, follow Conan O'Brien.
Well, on that happy note, I think we'll wrap it up for today.
Oh, you know what? Somebody else is asking in the chat room if Arthur is going to be playing the World of Whatever. I believe they have correctly right there in the chat room said it. And I believe they have correctly pointed out that Arthur said, no, in January. I will play in January. And then we were like, I believe I tweeted at one point and said, hey, it's January. And you were like, oh, no, mid-January.
Yes, that is also true.
We're past mid-January. I believe we're at the end of February.
Didn't you say 2011?
I should have said something about a year to be determined.
No. So when will you be joining us in the World of Whatever trademark?
At some time. Well, the invitation I was sent low those many moons ago has, I'm sure, expired by now.
We can get you another invitation in a heartbeat.
It's summer down under, don't you think?
Yeah. Can we just say, I know that because there's a bunch of people from New Zealand in our big gay guild, but can I just say that Stephen from Wisconsin is playing the World of Whatever, Laurie Dean is playing World of Whatever, what's his name, Eric, the Southern Boy, when he quit podcasting, he's playing World of Whatever.
Yeah, you tried to get Auntie Vera, and that didn't work so well.
Matt from Spanking B. Arthur is now playing on our realm. Miss Wes is playing on our realm. Also, the freak geek, Craig from the Royal Pains, is playing on our realm and is also in our big gay guild. And, there's no reason for you not to play.
Not to mention that we would love to have you.
That's right. We could spend quality time together.
That's why he doesn't want to play. I would have to talk to these people even more than I already do.
No, the second week of March is when I'm next free or reasonably priced.
Very well, then.
It was that like he was just out of, he went out of his way to avoid ending the sentence in a preposition?
I think we've just been asked on a date.
The second week of March is when I am next free. Oh, no, wait, that he was just preventing from splitting an infinitive, I think.
I think we shall...
That is something up with which I will not put.
Well, thank you.
We shall have to come a calling second week of March.
Or you could play Star Trek Online and go boldly.
where lots of...
My mother used to always complain about that. Every single time it came on, she'd say, it shouldn't be that. It should be boldly to go, or whatever.
To boldly split infinitives where none has split infinitives before.
Yeah.
And then end in a preposition. Anyway. I am so... I have destroyed your show, Arthur, and for that, I sincerely, sincerely apologize.
Where's the party at? What? Don't end a sentence in a preposition. Where's the party at, bitch?
Well, as I tried a few minutes ago, I will now end this podcast. And we will give y'all a chance to recommend or to plug things that you want to. Or something. And why don't we start in reverse order and start with Larkin?
I went first last time.
Well, because I know what Daniel's going to say. So.
Oh, no, you don't.
I'm going to plug. I'm going to plug. Let me look at my iTunes here. I'm going to plug Dubious Intent. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh. Meow. Kind of the dead.
Oh. Go ahead. What are you
going to
plug?
Huh?
Go ahead. What are you going to plug?
I'm going to. Is that call box 7?
No.
I'm sorry. Let me think. Those are the only two I can think of right now. I'm sure there's more out there. No. Let's see. I'm going to plug Skeptic's Guide to the Universe.
I would have pegged you for a what the fuck with Mark Maron kind of a guy.
Never listened to it.
Oh, you should. It's a really good show.
I think Mark Maron, that name's familiar. Why do I know
He used
name?
To be the host of Morning Sedition on Air America.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I liked him. Yeah.
He now does a twice a week podcast called WTF. You can find it on...
thank you, Daniel, for that plug.
Hey, Lurie Dean, what are you plugging? Oh, I'm sorry. I just took Arthur's job. Go ahead, Arthur. Ask Lurie Dean what he's plugging.
Lurie Dean, what are you plugging?
Plug one.
Daniel.
AmarinsPodcast.com.
What was that?
AmarinsPodcast.com.
Oh, thank you.
Teacher's pet.
You get the little gold star in your chart today. And Daniel?
You can hear me 3 times a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, myself and occasionally my conscience on a little show that I like to call Vera Speaks. It's on, you'll find it at veraspeaks.com.
For real?
Where I post pictures of my wacky life and talk about my insulin-inducing husband, Hooch.
For real?
And celebrities.
Make fun. And make fun of, and name drop a bunch of celebrities.
And make fun of fat people.
Right.
Or one in particular, anyway.
And people who are obtuse.
Yes.
Ooh. Shampoo!
Obscure Twitter reference. Obscure Twitter reference. Right.
Did you tweet that?
No, the obtuse.
Oh.
Yes. Not the shampoo.
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 Right.
Gravitas.
No, actually...
plug-in.
Actually, I do have a new podcast that will be starting, will be recorded next week, and hopefully it will be posted the week after that. Wowcahol.com is where you can find that.
Who?
Wowcahol.com.
Wowcahol?
Yes.
Like
W-O-W-T-M Cahol?
Yes. Like, well, without the trademark, but yes, World of Warcraft O-Hall. So, Wowcahol. To replace the AL in alcohol with wow.
I got it, thanks. Just want to make sure I spelled it right because I always put links in the show notes, you see.
So how many drink minimum to be part of this wow?
Alcohol? There is no drink minimum, but you do have to play the World of Whatever trademark.
Ooh, unfortunate. Gravita's brought up in the chat room, whatever happened to the meta show? Ooh.
All right. Well, that's all the time we have tonight. Thanks, everyone.
Also, why not WoW Addict? That would be another good one.
Because
we are not addicts.
Because I already own the domain wowcahol.com. Leave me alone.
So on that note, thanks for listening, everyone. And we will be back next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. I don't know if I can say that. but too bad I just... Bye, everyone.
Bye.
You can leave a comment on this or any other episode of the Amrens Podcast at amrenspodcast.com. You can send an email to me at Arthur, that's A-R-T-H-U-R, at amrenspodcast.com, or you can ring my U.S. comment line on 206-666-5172. This podcast is produced and distributed on a Creative Commons license. Complete details at the website.